Well, hi, everybody. It's January 6th, 2022. Welcome to Pre-K-12 Education Talk Radio. I'm Larry Jacobs, and we have a really nice treat for you today. We have my good friend Robert Martellacci, okay, who publishes Mindshare Learning up in Canada. We're going to talk about all his predictions for ed tech for 2022, not only in Canada, but here in the U.S. As everybody knows, we've been through the 2 years of COVID. Things have changed. We want to get a sense of the temperature from his point of view, not only in Canada, but down here in the U.S. And it's always great to have Robert here, and I'm looking forward to this show. We're going to archive the show. We're going to archive the show over at ace-ed.org, ace-ed.org, the home website of our American Consortium for Equity in Education over at ace-ed.org. Okay, please go over there. You'll see every podcast we've ever done under the podcast link, our magazine, which is a wonderful online journal that Mindshare contributes to all the time, which is called Equity in Access. You'll really enjoy it if you take a minute to go over there. And you can link to our new website, which is called seltoday.org. There's a link, seltoday.org, all about social-emotional learning, school wellness, school climate, student wellness, teacher wellness, et cetera, et cetera. Check it out. Everything's over at ace-ed.org. And if you want to be smart, you can also go to mindsharelearning.com, which is the company that Robert runs, the mind behind. Now here's the mind behind Mindshare, Robert Martellacci. Hi, buddy.
Wow, what an honor to be on your show, Larry. And kudos to you for all that you do. I was just exhausted listening to all the different options and all the activities you got going on. Happy New Year to you, by the way.
Thank you. Same to you, even though I'll say it in Canadian. Happy New Year.
You know, it translates very nicely. I hope you and your family are healthy and well. I know you were on a bit of a health kick, which is exciting. And how are you doing with that?
I am fine. Thank you very much. Although you could probably hear the stuffiness in my voice. Okay, I'm a little stuffy.
Yeah.
That's about it.
You know the sinus thing, a lot of people have issues with that, particularly in the wintertime.
Yeah.
And you have to make sure you're well hydrated and get the ventilation
properly. Yeah, mine's
properly.
12 years. Mine's 12 months a year. Okay, it's unbelievable.
Ouch.
Thank you for asking, my friend. Everything good up there with your family as
Speaking of well-being, one of the things that, we really embrace nowadays, and I had a woman by the name of Janet Olmsted speak at our summit, and her expertise is on, she's a play expert and a health coach.
She wrote
a book, the Playbook. So the acronym is Please Look After Yourself. And I had her do our health break during our summit back in October. And she was stellar. We gave books to all the presenters and made them available as gifts. And she has 150 tips in there on how you can get active in your day and the importance of it, right? Hockey is my thing. I've been playing three times a week. And that, the well-being piece, for both teachers, administrators, students, parents, it's at a crisis. So I find when I'm out there on the ice playing hockey or going to walk with our new pup, it's just inspiring. It's a good balancing act, right?
And, it clears your mind too. It clears your body. It clears your mind. I do definitely agree with you. I must ask, when you play hockey, what are you wearing? Are you wearing like hockey stuff or are you just going out in jeans?
No, I play on three teams, Larry. I'm trying to retard the aging process. So
that's good.
I wear full equipment. I've started wearing a face shield, full face shield. Because I've had some dental work, and the last thing I want is to have my prized possessions, damaged again. It's not inexpensive, as you know. So
you look like an NHL player when you hit the ice.
Not quite Wayne Gretzky, but I played against him once.
I didn't say you play like him. I said you look like him.
Sure.
Okay.
Absolutely.
Yeah. Full pads, the whole schmear, right? The helmet, the face mask,
everything. Yeah, now
right?
we've got our we've got our outdoor rink going at our local park, and I'm one of the volunteers, and I'll be giving skating lessons to kids. We have a lot of new immigrants coming into the community. So, you know, I've got 40-plus years of experience, so I'm happy to impart that knowledge.
That's great. That is super. And really, what part of Toronto do you live in? Just tell people that so they can harass you.
I'm situated in the Mindshare Workspace, Canada's first shopping mall, located co-working space in Air Mills Town Centre, which is 15 minutes from the Toronto International Airport in the great city of Mississauga, which is a suburb. But, we've got the FETC coming up in a couple of weeks. Are you going to join us down there?
I will not be there, but Maya will be there, my good partner. She will be there.
Okay, excellent.
Yeah.
Well,
then I'll make sure she knows to see you.
Absolutely. So we're looking forward to that as one of the main media partners. So that's the January 25th to the 28th in Orlando, back in Orlando. So looking forward to connecting
with our colleagues.
That's
good, because the one in Miami
colleagues.
Was terrible. That was terrible. So I'm glad to see you back in Orlando.
Yeah, exactly. So when is your next magazine out? Larry,
the next issue of the magazine, the current one is the December-January, which is out now.
Right.
Okay, and then February comes out right at the end of the month. So we'll put
that
up.
We've got a new publication, School Beyond COVID, Accelerating the Changes That Matter for K-12 Learners in Canada and Beyond, and it's a free digital publication that we put together with district CEOs and input from CIOs from across the country and our board of advisors at Sleep 21 Canada. So looking forward to sharing that document with your readership.
Yeah, please do. And get all your editorials. You guys submit editorial to us for every issue. We love that.
Yes.
Okay, so make sure you get it in on time. And I'll make sure, right after the show, I'll remind Maya to see you at FETC.
Right.
I'll send an email to both of you.
Absolutely.
Okay, and she'll be hanging out in the press room and all that sort of stuff. I want to swing in. Robert, talk to me. What's going on in COVID education, ed tech?
Wow.
Go ahead. Yeah. So what's going on? Let me ask it more specifically. Are they returning to school all right in Canada? What's going on?
Yeah, right now the situation is that most are going online. The variant, the Omicron variant, has impacted a lot of areas across the country. And it kind of started in the east and made its way out west. And so most schools are going back online, or they delayed a week or two. So in Ontario, schools are back online, which, you know, is not ideal.
So they're not in person? Schools are not in person?
No.
Oh, I'll be damned.
No, our premier, and there were 500 doctors signed a petition wanting kids back in school for their own personal well-being. Online learning isn't ideal for K-8 students. High school students are better equipped. So we recognize that. You know, we're big proponents of ed tech, but the reality is it's about using the right tool at the right time.
That's right.
And in crisis learning, you know, you're forced online. In our government's case, they saw the case counts shooting up, and the hospitalizations are off the charts right now.
Same here.
The doctors and nurses aren't able, like, They can't meet the demand. So that's you're seeing the same sort of thing there.
Absolutely, it's identical. I mean, it's just identical. Okay, it's a little easier here, I believe, rural than it is urban. Okay, because obviously there's fewer people. Okay, and so I'm not hearing that so much from rural, but I'm hearing it a lot in urban. Of course, Chicago schools closed down. They're closed now.
New York City.
Yeah.
What about New York City schools?
It's tough. I don't know what's doing in New York. I don't know. They've had a major change. They got the new mayor. He just started 6 days ago.
Yeah.
So I don't know what's going on with all this, but it's pretty tough. And, you know, it's hard on teachers because they're scared of getting sick. What the heck? What happens? It's just brutal out there. And so many teachers are just going through so much burnout. What do you hear about teacher burnout up there? So
the teacher burnout is very high, but this is why we emphasized and they started off talking about that playbook, because teachers are selfless. You know, the majority of them, once they know, just give it their all, right?
And they do.
And they tend to be more selfless, but you need balance in your life. And that's what I really like to talk about, is, and particularly with this book that I've really embraced, is, you know, get some ideas around how you could, you know, get active and enjoy your family time. And yeah, you know, you've got your kids at school, but you've got your own personal life, and to separate the two. And if, you know, parents need to recognize that, you know, kids need to be active, get outdoors.
Yeah,
they can't be on their video games all day long. And that's a trend. I mean, we're the least fit population in North America in the history, right? And there are pockets that where people are more active, where the weather is, you know, more, you know, where the weather's
warmer,
you're on the coast.
I was up
in the Yukon one of the last trips we did for a summit, C21 summit.
I remember that.
We were taken to an outdoor classroom, elementary outdoor classroom in the woods. So if you're dressed appropriately, you can enjoy
that's
the
fine.
Outdoors. It's right?
It's
I mean,
fine. And, you know,
nice
the other thing, I have to say two things
winter.
To you.
Yeah.
I have to say two things. The other thing is, you know, with online you know, if kids are in school all day and they're interacting with kids and moving into a certain amount of space, then they go home and they play video games. That's kind of understandable to a certain extent, okay?
Sure.
But if they're online all day with school and then play video games, they're doing nothing but being on the computer.
Yeah.
Okay, and they have to get
like
moving. And before 100%. I forget, wait a minute, your friend who wrote the book, okay, we have our – this is very important to us. We have our new website, which is called seltoday.org. And if she would like to write something, we would certainly help her promote the book.
I'm happy to put you in touch
with
Janet. She would
just
love
put her in touch
that.
With me, and we'd love an article if she wants to do it, or an excerpt from the book. Whatever, she doesn't have to work that hard to do that, and we'll promote the book on site.
That sounds
fantastic.
I think
that's important.
And one of the things we did at our summit, Larry, and I don't know if you had an opportunity to jump into our environment.
Doesn't matter. Talk about it anyway.
With all the talk around, you know, the Hollywood squares of learning and being unsuccessful online, we pivoted and we created a 3D immersive replication. I'm painting a picture of our workspace for our summit. So we partnered with Remo out of Hong Kong. It was a collaboration of Hong Kong, Toronto, and Netherlands to create a 3D immersive experience with a Remo partner, which we are now going to be offering education for professional learning, for lectures, for conferences, the opportunity for us to host their events in our 3D immersive environment that allows you to move from table to table. It's, you know, the dogs group, they use Remo, but we highly customized it. My philosophy is the more lifelike you can make your virtual environment, the more engaging it will
That's
be.
Right.
And we've really embraced this platform because it gives you the flexibility to see the room, to move around seamlessly, and people loved it. And so my philosophy is really about, you know, giving teachers and students a real life experience as much as you can. So it's a good segue to the top trends for 2022 that we see, is that the 3D immersive AI augmented reality experiences are going to be the rage for 2022.
Yeah, I agree. I agree.
You know, Zoom had its time. Teams, Google Meet, they're tools that, yeah, sure, they have their place, but there's an emergence of new tools and new platforms that will engage students and leaders in different ways, more meaningful, deeper learning, right? That's
and again, you know, when you're right about like Google Meet and Zoom, you know, they're great. okay? But technology changes at a rapid pace, and the next level starts to move in. And I have to say something else.
Right.
I know you're going to go down to FETC, but right now there is a if I may, there's a tremendous teacher shortage, okay? And teacher substitutes, you know, teachers are calling in sick because there's a plague out there, for goodness sake. So it's going to be very hard for a school district to say, yeah, you can go to that conference and spend 5 days there. When the fact is we need you here. Because, you know, the world of educational conferences, okay, besides the fact there's Omicron going on, okay, and they don't want to take the risk of somebody getting sick in a large group, okay?
Right.
And you know I love conferences. I always have a good time when I go. But I believe that the world, okay, of conferences, and let's just focus on education, is really going to change. What you just said about a truly immersive 3D, if I may, AI experience, okay, I think is going to replace over the course of time, what we have been used to over the last 30 years, which is flying to a conference and seeing everybody, et cetera. The world is changing.
Yeah.
All right, you're on top of it, I might add, okay? And it's changing not only for it's changing not only for the kids in school, but also for the way we interact with the way the industry interacts with educators, okay, which is a very important function. Go ahead, speak, my friend.
Right, and absolutely. And what's interesting is the notion of the hybrid model, right, allowing people to be there in person or online. We had a great compliment. We were told that our summit was the best experience of any conference North America wide that some leaders experienced. So we were quite humbled by that. And
I'm not surprised.
But you know,
congratulations, but I'm not surprised.
Thank you.
Yeah.
Thank you, but the reality is that, where it makes sense to offer blended or hybrid, I think even in education, right, the students, you know, it's easier to do a post-secondary perhaps than K-12, but I don't see that hybrid model going away where some institutions will say, you know what, you want to come to school? Or you in class or online, we're giving you the option because, you know, they might be elite athletes, actors, musicians that are traveling the world, but they still want to be part of the class, right? So that flexibility, so flexible, personalized learning we see emerging. You know, one of the terms that really comes to mind for the future is agile innovation. Larry, how many pivots have people had to make this past year? So I'm embracing the notion of, what do you think? Have you heard the term agile innovation? It's just something that came to mind.
About a minute ago from you, that's the first I've heard of that one, but I do like
so
it.
So I'm going to have to trademark
it. I do like it.
But the ability to pivot and have that agile, maybe there's maybe that's a title of a book that I could write or we can write
you
together.
Can.
But
that.
That
you're
notion,
right.
No, we're not busy. We're not busy enough, right?
So, yeah, right. Of course.
And so agile innovation is a mindset, like growth mindset, that about in his book. You have to be nimble as an educator or an ed tech company or a leader in this new normal.
Well, without question, you have to be. And you know, if I may, and I hate to say this way, but I will. Education. The educational system is a bureaucracy, okay? Mm-hmm. I hate to say it, but it's true. It's a bureaucracy, and it changes very, very slowly, all right? And I know there's been a million new things and all that, but the basic system, okay, hasn't changed that much, all right? And again, I'm saying this. Please understand what I'm saying, everybody. You know, a teacher is a cog in the wheel. A vice principal is a cog in the wheel. A principal is a cog in the wheel. And the whole thing moves the system forward. Okay, the superintendent, same thing. All right, it's a bureaucracy. But what the pandemic taught us is what you just said. We can innovate if we have to. And, of course, under the pandemic, it wasn't that easy to do because we had to build the plane while we were up in the air. All right? But
right.
It's
two years in now.
Yeah.
Right.
And that was crisis learning, right?
Like,
exactly.
Let's not forget, it was crisis learning. It wasn't perfect. And that's the stigma that ed tech companies have to overcome now. It's really proving their value, and that's a good segue to the next trend is that, you know, let's not forget about data-driven decision-making on what tools make sense. Do you know that, Larry, one of the not-for-profits in Virginia came out with a report a couple of years ago, 85% of ed tech installs are unsuccessful. Are you kidding me?
I have never heard that statistic. 85%. Yeah, not good.
85%.
Would that mean that the tool is not effective in learning or that they can't get it to work right? What does that mean?
The product doesn't get installed. How many products are purchased and sit on a shelf?
Wow.
There's no professional learning.
85%? 85%?
I'll share the report with you.
Oh, my God.
As we're talking, I'm going to look it up. It's a not-for-profit in Virginia.
Yeah.
Yeah, 85% of ed tech consortium. So it's an ed tech consortium. And, it's insane. When you consider those numbers, we have a lot of work to do. We have a lot of work to do around, you know, efficacy and support for industry to reach $7 trillion by 2027.
Wow.
I just thought that, yeah. So I'll share that
please
with
do.
You, Larry, when, yeah.
Please do. But Robert, what do you see, you so, know, when you say something like that, and you're an ed tech guy, you have a degree in ed tech, for goodness sakes. I think you have a master's in ed tech, don't you? If I'm not mistaken.
From Pepperdine University, Larry.
There you go. Good Malibu U. All right.
Where
you're surfing while you were there.
Where I met our buddy Seinfeld, where I ran into Seinfeld on my way
exactly,
to graduation.
Exactly. Right. Right.
I told you that story.
Oh, yeah. I've heard that story. It's great. All right. And, you know, my question is, if where does it go from here? Okay, you go into a FETC, they're going to have, I'll make up a number here, 200 booths of education technology providers, all right?
Mm-hmm.
And so as you look at it and you know that number, okay, where do you see it all going from here? And I have to ask you this, where do you see the change coming, all right? Because we've learned a lot in the pandemic, so if you were in charge of a school – let me ask that question. That's a better way to ask it. If you're in charge of a school district, Superintendent Martellacci, what would you do?
Yeah.
Yeah, how would you plan
out?
Well,
you know, I listen to the students, what they want and what the teachers want.
That's a good answer.
That's another trend is the democratization of learning. Learning is students are being empowered as stakeholders, parents. The community is the school now, Larry. We're not restricted to the four walls. If I was to do a PhD, it would be focused on the notion of smart cities and communities and how the learning ecosystem fits within, you know, smart cities. They talk about AI and ubiquitous internet and all this data-driven decision-making, but the reality is it's about people. So if you don't infuse the learning culture in the K to 12 and higher ed sectors, you're going to have this a misalignment like we do for jobs, right? So
that's a great answer.
Can hire. So the notion of work integrated learning is another one where, you know, we have students here from college and university that are working with us. And we are helping, you know, it's that notion of just in time, actually real-time learning. You know, we used to teach the past, then it's real just in time. Now it's real-time learning as you need it, right? It needs to make sense. I know these concepts are kind of hard to fathom today, but
they are.
The community
they
at the school, real-time learning, just like the Boston mayor I saw on 60 Minutes once, he was seeing real-time potholes being filled, garbage being picked on these panels, these digital panels in his office. All the different departments were putting up data on what's going on currently. So imagine being able to see your students learning in action and capturing that.
We can't do that.
What do you think?
Something we have to do. But let me ask you this. Do you know of any school districts that are moving towards this, that understand these concepts?
You know, we've seen some tremendous activities and trends happening that are being embraced. In the Western Canada, we see school districts in BC.
Yeah.
BC is one of the leaders for sure in Alberta. We see
took the next word out of my mouth. Yeah, I know that, Alberta.
Pockets of innovation, right? So our role is we're not done yet. We're not ready to sail into the sunset because we're sharing. We're sharing the best practices and success stories. We're thrilled to be launching, Larry, our 14th Schools of the Future Challenge next month, where we're going to engage students and teachers to solve real-world community problems within their school or community and to share those videos on how they achieve that. Because, hands-on learning, challenge-based learning is, for me, that's the future. Make it real. Solve a real problem. You know, the sustainable development goals are great, Ghassan, but I want to apply them to our own communities. Help your community in the school or help seniors or, you know, the homeless. That's where the rubber hits the road.
That's actually a good question. And I think you're talking about, I'll use the term project-based learning, PBL. Okay.
Challenge-based?
Yeah, you said
you
something
like challenge?
Else.
Yeah, challenge-based.
They're good. I like them both. My question is this. When we do that, and I kind of know the answer, but I want you to articulate it. When would you like to see that start as a child's development happens? We start kids in pre-K, and we do have to teach them the basics. They do have to learn to read and write. Okay, they do have to do basic mathematics, that sort of thing, the logic, okay, et cetera. And citizenship as well. All right. So then when should they start getting involved, in your opinion, Robert, in real-world challenges?
Yeah. Here's a story for you. The Toronto District School Board, McMurk Public School, that won our Schools of the Future Challenge in the past, I go into – interview kids that are forming teams, entrepreneurial teams in grades 5 and 6.
There you go.
So they're doing these project-based learning, starting a business, and then they have a showcase in the gym, and you go buy their wares.
That's great.
Started this nightlight golf, putting range, putting game, and T-shirts and different food products, and they create their own logos and they create business plans. We're talking grade 5 and 6. And the teachers, Celia Capetillo Tavares, one of the teachers who's won our contest in the past, she incidentally is on our advisory board now, said that she gets kids coming back 10 years, 15 years later saying, you know, that business game that we played, that was transformational for me. That should be happening every year.
That's right.
Kids should have the opportunities throughout the grades. And we're still at the point, and it's a great way to finish off with the role of the teacher and how that's evolving, right?
Go ahead.
The teacher has to have that agile innovation growth mindset. It's complex. And faculties of education have to be aligned, which they're not, to help them prepare.
Thank you very much.
Right, the well-being of kids, I don't think they're equipped to help the kids. They haven't been trained. That's a new, whole new addition to their you know, repertoire, right? But
that's exactly
really
right. You are dead on right on that, my friend. And I do not understand. I do not understand. And you're talking about you're obviously more familiar with Canada. Okay, same thing here in the United States. By the way, I live close to Canada in Maine, so I'm not that far away from you. I would say up there, but
I'm fairly close. I'm threatening to come and visit you one day when COVID is over.
Anytime. Okay.
Yeah.
And it's almost drivable. Okay. And you know, I'm 4 hours from 3.5 hours from New Brunswick, for goodness sakes.
Nice.
Okay. But I don't understand, and I keep trying to get a handle on this. Okay. Is why the education schools, the colleges, are behind what the needs are within the schools, and I believe they are. Okay.
I would agree with you.
And it's the opposite. If you look at medicine, okay, it's colleges of education. I think I'm right. You expect colleges of medicine to be on the cutting edge and teaching exactly what's needed now. But somehow, and I've never been able to figure this out, education at the higher education level lags behind. I don't get it.
It does. I think it's going to change. I'm optimistic it's going to change. And Larry,
what the hell are they waiting
you know,
for?
Teachers do amazing work, and it's you know they get dumped on too often. But you know their challenge is time and tools. Time, tools, and training. Time, tools, and training are critical. And my passion is to help support that. We just launched our EdTech Marketplace with tons of free resources. We gave away $50 million during the pandemic in free resources, thanks to all our partners in EdTech across North America. And we're continuing to do that and help support education
good,
to access the right tools at the right time, Larry.
You do it, buddy. You are, I tell you, mindsharelearning.com, everybody. Get to know Robert because he knows what he's talking about. And I don't care if you're in El Paso, Texas. The more you talk to Robert up in Canada, the smarter you'll be. Okay.
Well, we look forward to spending more time in the U.S. at FETC, and we did the tech playbook for the state of Florida with the Canadian government. So we're looking to open a co-working space in Florida because they want to spend more time there. So
stay
tuned.
In Orlando? Right. I hope you do.
Perhaps. Yeah.
Not a bad place. Say hi to Tom Brady
for me. You'll have a spot
there
for yourself.
Yeah.
There you go.
You may get me to visit yet.
Larry.
Have fun at FETC. I'll make sure you and Maya connect. Thanks, buddy.
Thank you so much for this, Larry Jacob.
Are you kidding me? I love having you on, my friend. Thank you, Robert.
All right. Until next time, stay healthy, stay safe.
Thank you too, buddy.
To speak. Cheers.
Bye.
Bye-bye.
Robert Martellacci, everybody, my good buddy, and he's just truly terrific at education and what's going on. MindshareLearning.com. Check it out. You won't be sorry. And they contribute to our magazine all the time. And our magazine's at ace-ed.org, where this podcast will be archived. There you go. I'm Larry Jacobs. This is Free K-12 Education Talk Radio. Thanks for listening.